Weekend Review, a look back at the week and forward to the weekend. Music, movies, goodies, and more. It's my Michelle Live Weekend Review. Here's Michelle.
Hey! All right, music can go down now, big voice guy. There you go. Thank you very much. Yes. So as we look at a week in review, what's going on in the world around us, what kind of things you might not know, whether it's the fun stuff or the big news stuff, we take it on here in our week in review. And this portion we call the Riz Report.
Let's review the week. The Riz Report with Adam Ruzzieri.
Adam Ruzzieri. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Living the dream. Living the dream. We're about to just roll into the weekend and get past the week and kind of recap, I guess, what's been going on in our world. You know, it's a big world. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of these 7 billion people doing stuff in the world that we're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Some things are a little bit crazier than others, you know?
Yeah, and there's some big news that while there's so much to cover and there's so much going on, we're going to try to focus on some things that really affect us, really affect you as you're watching or listening. But something that really does affect us that we forget about is the freedom that we have in the United States, the freedom to disagree. That is relatively unique in much of the world history. The freedom to have thought, the freedom to protest, the freedom to express ourselves. And all of that comes on the backs of those who have gone before us, who are willing to stand up and defend that freedom and not just lay down and take it. And that's why this weekend we want to start with remembering.
Absolutely. Of course, Memorial Day weekend, you know, and it just, what a.
Hey, it's more than just grilling hot dogs, buddy. More than just grilling hot dogs.
That is exactly right. It's more than a backyard barbecue and just great times with friends and family and just a day out of the office. You know, it really is a day to look back and be so thankful for those who have come before us, who have sacrificed everything to protect our way of living, our right, like as Michelle said, our right to agree to disagree. I mean, what a concept, right? Our right to look at things with a critical thought and say, you know what, I think we can maybe do that a little bit better. That's what makes our country so incredible. That's why we are what we are. That's why our American businesses literally lead the world in innovation, because of our rights to disagree and to think differently, to think creatively. And so this weekend, yeah, it's a long weekend. We're going to have a good time. Of course, we're going to have a good time. I'm going to eat some barbecues. Going to drink a little bit of brew, probably. You know, I'm going to have a good time with my wife. And I'm going to do things red, white, and blue style. I'm wearing my red, white, and blue sweatshirt right now. I got my We the Party People Here shirt with President and General George Washington on it. It's going to be a great weekend. But I'm going to go into this weekend, and as I laugh and share stories, I'm going to be thankful to my relatives, my friends, my family, those who have served that I know, those who have served that I don't know, those who have served and passed away, unfortunately, but also those who have served and gone on to live great lives. A couple of family members of mine both passed away, but they served and went on to live fantastic lives. My great uncle Pat passed away in 2019 at the age of 95. Wow. He was in one of the most active combat engineer groups in World War II, the 291st Combat Engineers Battalion, and they served and fought at the Battle of the Bulge. Uncle Pat, before he passed, he was actually on the History Channel a couple of times talking about his experiences and just what the men and women in uniform went through, but also the men and women not in uniform as well that contributed to the greater effort. My mom's side of the family, my grandpa, he was a lieutenant colonel in the army, fought in Vietnam and Korea and did a bunch of secret missions in the Middle East. And, you know, he was my mom as a military brat. She was born abroad in Germany on an army base and didn't have a normal relationship with her father because of his service. He was gone for a lot of her childhood. So we recognize that It's not just the soldiers and the men and women in uniform, but it's also those families.
Those families
really make this
possible. They serve as well. So thankful. They serve as well. A big thank you to my dad who passed for his service in the Navy. But one gentleman that recently, as I was flying, you see the veterans with their hats on where they served. And I make a point of saying, gosh, thank you. Thank you for your service. But this man's reaction, older gentleman served in World War II. He served in Vietnam. My bad. He said, you know, I appreciate when people say that, but I don't thank you for breathing. He said, this is just what we do. I was like, whoa, you know that, you know, this is just what we do. This is what we should all be doing, is defending our freedoms. And I was well, bless your heart. We talk a lot about victimization in our society, Adam. And that victimization, that feeding into your victim, and we have to fight the evil of people who make us victims. Thing is that there's always going to be people who feel victimized, who feel like they don't have a stake. But I want you to think about this as you're listening and viewing today, that we're in the United States of America, where someone who is downtrodden, has less of an advantage, who didn't come with a silver spoon in their mouth, can become or be anything they really want. Yeah, you may have to work harder to get there. You may have to jump over more hurdles, but you know what? That makes you stronger and it makes you better. Yeah, I'm an example of that. I started in talk radio, on the radio, when it was just deemed a venue for angry white males. Okay. Have you met me? I am not angry. I am not white, nor am I a male. And so, while all of the guys were getting better opportunities because they were going to strip joints seriously and smoking stogies with management, and so they're the ones who are getting the promotion, I was working harder. I was being better. Yep. In the end, some of those guys aren't even in radio anymore, and I'm still doing what I'm doing. So it's an example, and that is where it gets personal for me. And I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for every person, no matter how you served. Thank you for your service. We will not forget. And for those who have passed, we still will not forget. You have a legacy. I appreciate that. And so as we review the week, we're looking a little bit forward to, that's why we can have our beers and hot dogs, because of that.
Woohoo! Without question. Thank you so much. Thank you for allowing our country to be the place where we can be the mouse that's thrown into that barrel of milk, and we can literally turn it into butter and survive and thrive. We have the tools and the freedom to do what we want to do, to pursue happiness, to pursue success. And, you know, obviously Michelle had her experiences in the workplace that presented challenges that she overcame, and she's now a better and more experienced and expert level professional because of that. She's been tested. She won, you know, and so she won because of who she is. She won because of what she did. There are people in our country that don't do that, you know, and that's unfortunately their choice, but it is their choice. But the point is if you choose to work hard and you choose to overcome, good things will follow.
Good things will follow. And as we look at Memorial Day, one thing I do like to do is get into a good war movie. And I wanted to ask you what your favorite is.
You know, it's like asking me what my favorite movie is. I'm going to have so many that come to mind. I'm just like, man. And, you know, I grew up watching a lot of movies. And so there was a time in my life where I basically just spoke in quotes. And so nobody could really understand me because I would just speak in movie quotes. You know, they're like, what the heck is this guy saying? You know, like, but when I think about like quotes, I mean, one comes to mind: aim small, miss small. The Patriot. That's an incredible movie about, obviously, one of our most important battles, the independence of our country, is really featured in that movie. We can't forget, though, the Revolutionary War was followed by the War of 1812, because the British were just trying to make sure we really wanted to be our own country. And we were just like, hey, guys, we are sure we want to be doing our own thing. We don't need y'all. Thank you very much. So the Patriot's a great one. I love Patton. It's obviously an older film, but the way it kind of brings a little bit of humanity, more of the personal side to General Patton. I think the movie does it very well with, George S. Scott? George S. Scott is the actor, I think, in that one. And then, you know, Saving Private Ryan, just cinematically beautiful. I mean, the effort that went into creating the visuals of that movie are just incredible.
That was an emotional movie. That beach scene was almost too much for me. And
you could feel the heartbeats of the actors.
Yeah. You know, while that was, I was really emo when I was watching that. And a lot of people criticize that movie for that, the graphicness, but I think it's important that we know that that gives a depiction, a reasonably close depiction of what war is really like. We need to remember that this is serious stuff. This isn't, we're not playing here. You know, some of the older movies so that they could have a wider acceptance, they downplayed a bit of what war really is. That Saving Private Ryan did not.
How about Platoon, Michelle? I mean, Platoon was incredible. Yeah. And it was definitely a battle of a group of people who were fighting for freedom from a terribly communist and very authoritarian government, North Vietnam forces, of course. And the way that the actors kind of put that story together, I mean, Willem Dafoe and Tom Berenger and a young Charlie Sheen, you know, it was an incredible film that showed you how, similar to Saving Private Ryan, just visually a little bit different, a little bit more raw, how terrible war is. That one scene where Willem Dafoe's character is basically being shot by North Vietnamese forces as the American forces are circling overhead in a helicopter, and his arms go up in the air and his body sort of convulses, and then he falls to the ground after Tom Berenger's character sort of betrayed him. That was just a very tragic reality to see, that even in war, even when you're on the same side, bad things can take place amongst a battalion. And when you have friendly fire in some situations, whether it's a friendly fire bullet or just somebody betraying you, I mean, the reality is war is awful.
War is terrible. that's the thing, is that it's a reminder to me that we're in a fallen world. And I always like to get to a God story to get people thinking that there's a bigger story to this, that we really are. It doesn't matter what side of a war you're on. It does matter. Believe me, it often does matter, but there is still an evil in the world. And our fight isn't always against flesh and blood. You know, sometimes it's about powers and principalities and things that are forces that are at play that bring evil in our hearts. And that's where one of my favorite war movies of recent and of all time is Hacksaw Ridge, because that is a story of a young man who wanted to be part of an effort for good, but did not compromise his own personal and spiritual convictions. It's a story of a man who did not want to carry a gun, didn't want to fire a gun, and he came under fire for it. He was persecuted for it, and almost prosecuted for it. But he was a medic and turned out to be the bravest under heavy fire, saving over 70 men. I don't even remember how many times he retrieved people and saved lives. I mean, and this man lived a life of humility and beauty. That's the spirit, and that's what wins real wars in our own lives. So there's
that actually is a beautiful film, Michelle. I actually saw that one, you know, and it is a beautiful film because it's a very different take on a soldier's experience, somebody who's trying to serve honorably, who is trying to also live by the values that they grew up with and that they really believe in. They don't want to sacrifice any of those for anybody or anything, but at the same time, they also want to serve honorably and take care of their country and their fellow soldier.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think there's probably a lot of those who serve that are like that, whether that's, you know, the combat photographers. I mean, unreal. They want to shoot with a camera and not with a gun. My grandpa actually did a lot of that as a lieutenant colonel in Vietnam.
Really?
Yeah. He, and obviously as a lieutenant colonel, you know, you have to do what you're told to do. But he was a big contributor to photographing and documenting the war. And actually his brother, my Uncle Charlie, was a newsreel cameraman for ABC for his entire career, and traveled with the presidents and spent a lot of time in DC covering really, really, like I would say, some of our country's most transformative moments, from the civil rights movement to the Vietnam War and beyond.
It's just those incredible people and the bravery. That movie, Andrew Garfield plays Desmond Doss, who to me, just the ultimate in American hero, you know, because he found peace and victory in an inner battle, and then lived it out in real life. And that is beautiful. What's important about, and if you get a chance to see Hacksaw Ridge, no, it's not for kids, but it is a spectacular film. What we can learn from that is that standing up for a good conviction and loving people who come against you. We have lost that. And part, I think, of why we lost that, we're seeing played out today in another story that I want to get to, and that is big tech and social media. My friend, as you're listening today, put your radar up, wake up, realize what's happening and how we and you, we're being manipulated, and we have normalized hate. We've normalized violence. We've normalized canceling
churches
people.
And hating the police, and just, you know, we've normalized racism in some situations. We haven't, right? We have not, but certain school districts that are trying to impose things like critical racist theory, I should call it. but kind of going back to those who have served, right? Man, can you imagine being in law enforcement today? Like, that would be such a hard and scary job. You're already underpaid, you know, and you work crazy hours. And, you know, God forbid, one of those who are serving or a family member falls in the line of duty, in the line of service. To see how big tech and the algorithms that control big tech and our engagement sort of control messaging is a real thing. And the thing, Michelle, that I picked up on this week was this story of Facebook banning advertising that was supporting a Back the Blue charity event that was
taking place. I didn't know that. Oh,
literally on Saturday.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Well, it's no shock, right? I mean, you know, they let Antifa pages stay up, but these Back the Blue pages are taken down. They let like terribly explicit and occasionally pornographic content stay on their platforms, but they're going to knock you for playing the guitar
and singing about Jesus.
Exactly. Can't sing about Jesus today. No, ma'am. That's divisive. It's crazy that you can have the Ayatollah spewing hate speech in multiple languages. But we're going to literally deplatform a sitting president at the time, who even his political foes are like, social media, you probably shouldn't have done that. You know, when you have Bernie speaking up for Trump and disagreeing with Twitter and Facebook's decision to ban him. I mean, wow. Like, did hell freeze over? Cause yeah, it sounds like it did. But you know, in respect of this story here, there's a distillery called the Loaded Cannon Distillery. And this is a small business in Florida. And they were investing a couple $100 a day into advertising this Back to Blue event that was to take place on Saturday. And Facebook had a problem with the advertisement. They literally banned advertising that was going to fuel excitement and attendance around an event that would help first responders, EMTs, firefighters, police officers, anybody that wears a badge and responds to a 911 call or a community service initiative. You know, why are we trying to deprive the families and those who rescue cats from trees and who ring on our doorbell when one of our loved ones falls on the ground unresponsive? Or, you know, when I'm doing yard work and I cut myself with a saw and it's really bad and I need somebody to help me right now.
I hope that's not a true story.
Thankfully, no. I have stepped on nails before, but you know, my wife's pretty talented. She took care of me. But you know, bad stuff happens, right? And when bad stuff happens, we look to our first responders to take care of us. You know, and sometimes they have to make life and death decisions. And we've seen that obviously over the last couple of months. There have been several situations where law enforcement has been called to a scene. They have stepped in, they have saved someone who was facing imminent doom, whether it be a threat to their life or their liberty. And then law enforcement is demonized for it. You know, it's crazy kind of what's going on in our country and the way that social media and you might say big media in general have allowed the narrative of the online platforms to really kind of demonize, you know, those who serve is really crazy to me. I mean, we saw the banning of shows that would support law enforcement too, even cartoons, right? Like Cops is off air, Live PD is gone.
Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh. Like
really?
Our kids from watching this stuff, they might learn to like a police officer. One of the things that I loved about when David Brown is the current commandant or the head of the police in Chicago, which is like an impossible job. But he used to be the chief of police here in Dallas. And he was all about this concept called community policing, where you would basically have those who grew up in certain neighborhoods literally serve in those neighborhoods. So you would have people that were plugged into the communities that knew, you know, who the neighbors were because they were a neighbor. And they would form friendships and sort of act like these mentors in the communities that were at risk to those kids who were kind of growing up and trying to decide like what their next step was. Do I go to college or do I go sell drugs on the corner with those other kids who I know are bad, but they're making money. You know, it's like this concept of community policing, I think, was really a great concept. But the truth is like nothing that these cops do today to try to help the communities is good enough or is respected. People just kind of see through all the good efforts and all the good deeds. People ignore the fact that police help homeless people and just give them meals out of their pocket and on occasion, or give them clothing on their dime, not expense to the city, you know, on occasion. Police and first responders do all these random acts of community service and kindness that you never hear about. And so to see social media now shut down this charity event is kind of more of the same, but really, really unfortunate to see.
Okay, I'm even going to say that we shouldn't even use the word unfortunate. It's getting to a very dangerous level because the banning of information, it's the very thing that many people made fun of and mocked the folks behind the Iron Curtain about. That or in communist China, where people are told one thing and all this propaganda, that's what took place. And here in America, we would say, seriously, you believe that? That's all they're being told. Well, now we're in that boat. You are not getting freedom of information. You're not getting an other side of the story. And you may be believing it hook, line, and sinker, just being led along like a fish with a right. Hook. Okay, this is what I'm going to believe. And it's easy to do if that's the only news that you're getting. But sooner or later, somewhere along the line, you question it and go, well, wait a minute, what about? And the light starts to go on. Are you brave enough to challenge what you think is truth? Look, it's no secret I'm a girl of faith, but I'll tell you what, you bring some challenges to my faith, bring some challenges to the Bible, bring some challenges to the way that I believe. The Bible says, God even says, test me, try me, prove me, you know, concerning issues, you know, go ahead, test it. Let's see what happens. He says, come, let us reason together. It's not about blind faith. And that's what we're putting into all of these different issues, just blind faith. This is the way it is. And we are all the worse for it because in a balanced society where you have left wing, right wing, Republican, Democrat, but you come together and you hash it out, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, and we become better, stronger, more intelligent, and able to move forward because of it. We start canceling and we start getting weak. We're not balanced anymore. Some of the other things that are happening, the banning of anything COVID with vaccines, with COVID being man-made and coming out of Wuhan. This is a huge one. I want to get to that one in a second because it leads into some other stories outside of social media. But they have canceled anything that has to do with the vaccine, and saying that there's some problems or some issues. I mean, there's a lot of things that are coming out of the censorship issue that I'd like to take on with you.
You're right on. It's this combination of well, censorship, right? It's a combination of blocking certain types of content and promoting certain types of content that are just garbage.
Yeah.
You know, the negative implications for those who serve in particular, right? Like, let's block anything good about law enforcement, right? And then the ripple effect from that, you see terrible videos posted on Twitter and Facebook of rioters, BLM and Antifa going after police who are just sitting on the block, just kind of on a patrol, sitting in their car, doing nothing. You have people come up and just throw stuff at their vehicles. You have people shouting at them in megaphones. You have people just treating them just terribly. And oftentimes the police, especially in some of these larger cities that are run by mayors like Bill de Blasio, frankly, the police just sit there and take it. And it's really hard to watch. You know, and so as we kind of understand that social media, the way that the algorithms and that these platforms make decisions, there is an effect from that. And of course, oftentimes that effect is one that is, it targets the person who is being censored to begin with, right? So in this case, in America right now, we see people targeting police officers. In fact,
we don't just stop. This is what's the outpouring is. We do not just stop at disagreeing or having heated conversations. We have normalized violence, and we have come to the point where that level of demonization means that you are less human, that you don't deserve to live. Your voice should not be heard. Not only should not be heard, but must be silenced at all cost.
Right.
Think Michelle, about that. That's crazy. That's mental. It's mental.
It is mental. It's totally mental. Did you know that? So here we have Facebook trying to ban advertising toward the Back the Blue charity. In more than 8 states, it's actually a hate crime to target a police officer just for being a police officer. And that happened after the Dallas police shootings, where an attacker, a man with a firearm, attacked police in downtown Dallas. And I remember my wife and I lived near that location at the time, and we were on our rooftop balcony watching the helicopter circle over this one spot in downtown Dallas that actually I used to work in that building where the shootings took place. And so from that, there was another shooting event where officers were specifically targeted just for being officers in another state. And so now you literally have some states that have passed state legislation saying that to intentionally attack someone who's wearing a uniform, that's actually a hate crime. So it's interesting now that we have Facebook censoring positive messaging around a protected group. A little weird there, right? Like, not very woke of you, Facebook. It's just wrong is what it is. It's totally wrong.
And Florida took steps. It's starting to say, wait a minute, this is not okay. They took steps to stop social media censorship, and it's a law that's going into effect in July.
That's right, July 1st. So this is interesting. Now, Florida, for a while, both the governor of Florida and then also several of the lawmakers, the legislators, for several months now, they've been talking about how something needs to be done. Something needs to be done to reel in the activity that we're seeing, to censor diversity of thought, to censor opinions of users, to
I think we just lost you for a minute, Adam.
Users listen to Michelle's fantastic singing, right? So now, starting July 1st, we have the it's called the Stop Social Media Censorship Act, and it will give Floridians as individual citizens the right to sue big tech over content moderation decisions. So if Michelle lives in Florida and Zuckerberg decides to deplatform her again, or in the future, she can go and sue Facebook for that action. This new law basically prohibits the deplatforming of politicians as well. So if you're running for office and you are a state candidate, the state of Florida is going to fine Facebook or Twitter or whichever platform that has over 100 million users. It will fine them $250,000 per day of violation. If you're running for a non-state office, school board or something like that, a $25,000 per day fine. This law is trying to mandate big tech to make very clear definitions around when people can or cannot be censored or deplatformed, what sort of actual activity, what sort of actual content is worthy of being taken down. And this is something that not just Florida, but also those in Congress, bipartisan, by the way, both sides of the aisle want more definition around what's okay and what's not okay.
I love that because they have no accountability. And think about that. I don't care where you stand in your politics. Without accountability, there is unrestrained power, and it is dangerous. Then that's exactly what we're seeing. I say, absolutely. I'm 100% behind this. I'm saying, you know, we need you to be accountable. What's wrong with that? Prove yourself. You've got the finances. You've got the power. You know, if you don't believe it's fair, okay, that's great. You can just go in and say, and then you're not fine. What's wrong with accountability? But we do know that big tech, oh yeah, they're bringing legal suit. The governor of Florida said, yeah, we pretty much knew that was going to happen, but we think this is pretty darn solid. And
you know, Michelle, I think Governor DeSantis and the state of Florida basically saw a small little fire, right? And they were just like, you know what, guys, this could be fuel towards a bigger fire that could lead towards burning down something that needs to be burned down. And so this is a law that is already being met with legal challenge, but it's to be expected. The critics of this law say that this prohibits, well, there's a First Amendment conflict and there's also a Section 230 conflict. There's also a conflict that just kind of says, hey, you know what? State law cannot preempt federal law. You know, federal law reigns supreme in our country. So here are the challenges, right? So with the First Amendment challenge, critics are saying that the Stop Social Media Censorship Act prohibits private entities from being forced to publish or broadcast somebody else's speech, right? So that's a thing. So that's saying, okay, well, these platforms have First Amendment rights is kind of what this is saying. Now, Justice Clarence Thomas, he's got an answer to that already, and he published that a couple of months ago, but he's basically saying that when you're a platform that wields so much power over the market, over your users, over competition, you might be so powerful that you're actually not able to take actions that infringe on the First Amendment rights of your users. The argument basically says that big tech companies, certain ones that wield a lot of dominance, they're not actually private entities in function. They wield the de facto power of governments, right? So this is, you can kind of argue support for that also with just recognizing what Section 230 is. Section 230 gives big tech companies basically a huge legal subsidy that no other actual private company enjoys. The Section 230 obviously gives big tech platforms immunity from, you know, explicit content that, you know, a drunk uncle or a user might post to their forums. It says, Facebook, you are not responsible for what, you know, Uncle Bob over there posts to your platform. Uncle Bob's responsible for that. And that's what's allowed big tech to grow, you know, without being sued for every single post that's on there, right? But this is a legal subsidy that you might say is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. My company is responsible for what we do. We're responsible for what, you know, our employees say and post publicly to our company's social pages. We don't have the same legal subsidy that these big tech platforms have been granted. So, you know, the thing that Justice Thomas is trying to say in a nutshell is that, you know what, guys, big tech platforms, certain ones are kind of more like common carriers. You know, it's like when there are options in the market, right? Like, when you get a phone, right, when you're trying to make a call, you can choose which platform to make a call from, but whatever you say to the recipient, you know, it's whatever you say. You can say whatever you want. Justice Thomas is basically saying that when we post something on social media, we're speaking, but the platform is not speaking.
And we're not speaking for the platform.
Exactly.
I know that with the FCC, having been in radio and television, you think of the fairness doctrine, and that was introduced in 1949. And this policy required that holders of a broadcast license, television, radio, whatever it may be, have to present controversial issues of public importance and do so in a manner that was honest and equitable and balanced. So if you have if you have Joe Biden on your station, you have to allow Donald Trump to be able to advertise on your station as well. That's kind of the gist of that fairness doctrine of the United States Federal Communications Commission, that there needs to be that kind of balance. So what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Because you get, and that's the thing that bugs me about this, is what the freaking heck are you afraid of? Why are you so afraid that someone's going to challenge your truth? Is it because you know that your truth isn't truth? I mean, if truth is truth, then don't be afraid to challenge it. Man, if you really think that what you think is right, I want to stand there and I want to say, just like I do with my faith, bring it, baby. Bring it. Right. Come on. Here I am. Bring it. I'm not afraid. So what the heck is going on?
Well, that's exactly it, Michelle. And the reason why it's getting to this level. So there are people that would say, listen, if you don't like Facebook and you can't post stuff to Facebook, that's fine. Go to one of the competitors, right? If you don't like Twitter and you can't post content to Twitter without being censored, okay, go to a competing platform. You know, the thing that Justice Thomas was trying to make clear is sort of like this difference of being able to travel in a car, and you're either taking the highway, you know, on paved ground, or you're forced to take gravel. You're forced to drive over gravel with potholes, with, oh, there's a tree in my way. The point is there's no viable competing option for the market. And when a competitor was introduced to the market, Parler was introduced as the most viable competitor to Twitter. Boom, as Michelle said, they were taken down by the collusive cartel-like behavior of the combination of Amazon cutting off basically the power to their app. Amazon said, you know what, guys, you can't even have the poles and wires that power your app. We're going to cut off your hosting. And then, you know what, we're also going to shut off the front doors that allow users to access your app. We're going to take you off of the App Store. So Apple users, iOS users cannot get access to your platform. We're also going to take you down from the Play Store. Google, Android users, sorry, no access. So you literally have like these forces here that are, I mean, come on, like no actual private company operates in such a dominating way that it can actually stifle real competition that's coming up in the market.
It's racketeering. I mean, come on.
Exactly right. So that's why we're going to see what Florida did here, man, is genius. Like, let's throw more fuel on this fire, guys. Let's get this conversation really rolling and change the system, you know?
I mean, come on, think about it. If a company takes dominance and says no one else can compete against us, man, everyone would be going crazy. And the problem is that we have a really convoluted idea of what fake news is, Adam. You know, but what really is fake news?
What is fake news? It's like whatever the fact checkers tell you is fake news, right?
Yeah, whatever I want to tell you. And whatever I want to say is fake news because I'm in power. I'm in power and what I say goes. How scary is that? Whoever is in power gets to determine what truth is.
Well, they can tell you what's a threat from COVID and what's not. They can tell you where COVID came from and where it didn't come from. They can tell you all about the election news and whether or not voting integrity is intact. You know, they can tell you all about the Hunter Biden laptop story and how that's not a thing. They're literally fake news now. So the beauty of a public forum or like a sidewalk conversation or having a town hall discussion is that you can share opinions and thoughts that are founded on fact, but they're your own opinions. And now these social media third-party fact checkers, and I say third-party with air quotes, by the way, because a lot of these fact checkers are actually funded by big tech. A lot of their money comes from big tech, and that's just a fact. It's published online. So when you have these third-party fact checkers certifying what's real and what's not real, they're also going after opinions. A big story this week has been specific to an op-ed that was published back in February by a guy named Stephen Mosher. And it was an opinion piece published to the New York Post that was censored on social media, labeled as false information, with clarity that said, checked by independent fact checkers. And there was a reporter that actually looked into this. Her name is Cheryl Atkison. And Cheryl Atkison found that the independent fact checkers actually had a conflict of interest with the story. One of the experts that was basically sought out to certify whether or not this Wuhan story about basically the COVID virus originating in the Wuhan lab versus coming from that Wuhan market, right? Basically, this guy was like, I think it came from the lab, guys, just based on a few things here, like we should probably look into this. Anyway, this reporter that basically looked into the third-party fact checker found that the conflict of interest came from a researcher named Daniel Anderson, who's affiliated with the Duke Singapore Med School. I have a lot of love for Duke. My uncle is a hematologist and a professor at the North Carolina-based med school in Chapel Hill.
Dude, so you have the most interesting relatives of anyone I've ever talked to. What the heck?
My Uncle Dave is legit. You know, he's an incredible oncologist and hematologist. And, you know, he saves normal people like us and celebs as well. And actually a person who officiated his wedding to my aunt, who was also a doctor there, was one of his patients who had like a 0.00% chance of remission. And go figure, that person's been alive for quite some time now. I think a couple decades. So a lot of love for Duke and Chapel Hill. I think we have some questions about Duke and Singapore. This researcher, Danielle Anderson, worked regularly with the Wuhan researchers, and she was sought out as the information source for this fake news story. So, man, Michelle, like fake news, the real fake news is Facebook's fact checkers. They are the problem. And this all started after the 2016 election when ultimately Facebook was like, you know what, guys, I think we have a fake news problem here. Okay, the problem is that the public is not being exposed to everything. Let us decide what's fake and what's not fake. Let us be exposed to opinions and decide which opinions we agree with and which ones we disagree with. It's
when you
simple.
Have a post on Facebook, you make any kind of post, let's say a political post or one of these controversial subjects, you're going to have people posting their thoughts and their discussions, right? They'll post conflicting news stories and say, this is why what you're saying is not true. That's the healthy thing, is that we're playing it out. We're debating it out. We've lost that art of debating. Not only have we lost the art of debating, and unfortunately, we don't teach debate in school, nor do we teach what goes hand in hand with debate, and that is logic. So we see on Facebook illogical arguments, ad hominem or from the man, arguments that say you're wrong because you're evil. You're wrong, Adam. Anything that you say is wrong because you are white and you're a male. You're
apparently
wrong.
I'm an oppressor.
However you look, whatever your affiliation, whatever you identify as, has no bearing on what truth is. But we don't teach logic. We don't teach debate. But when we do see it on social media, that's where you see a healthy exchange where people can look beyond, well, you're just a Nazi, you know, and that's a new illogical argument called ad Hitler, ad Hitlerism. You know, fine. If I can just go to and equate you to Hitler or to a Nazi, then I've won the argument.
Well, you've won, especially if Facebook hasn't checked it, Michelle, because if there's not a fact checker label on it, then there's the MIT did a study called, basically the study found that there's a thing called the implied truth effect. So if Michelle goes and is like, Adam, you suck, you're a Nazi, and Facebook doesn't fact check it and say, oh, actually, he's an American businessman born in 1984. Basically, the public could just assume that I'm actually that terrible person, right? Like, because there's not a label that says I'm not. But the fact is just like Facebook's oversight board, they had 150,000 cases last year. By January, they reviewed 5. There is such a high volume of content that these fact checkers can't keep up. You know, just imagine if the fact checkers were actually fair and they weren't actually biased, which they are. If they could even keep up with the volume of comments, you know, they wouldn't be able to. I mean, they wouldn't be able to. that's just the fact of the matter.
So what you're saying is, fairness wise, if someone says something or they post something and it's not fact checked, then you could even say that social media has a culpability of exacerbating that and perpetuating that idea because they didn't do a dang thing to say, well, no, this isn't true. So
isn't it ironic and hypocritical that Facebook and Twitter, basically big tech, argued that Parler should be shut down for not doing that when they enjoy the very protections that Section 230 grants them. They were trying to say, well, this competing concept doesn't deserve 230 protections, and also they violate our terms and conditions, so we're just gonna shut them down. I mean, there's so much hypocrisy in how these companies utilize these government granted immunities that help them perform in a way that isn't like a private company.
Yeah, so we have a problem on hand, and while that gets ironed out in brave states like Florida, while we can talk about it, we really should be, and this is where I love to empower ourselves, we should be turning that tide by taking a stand, by learning how to love people who think differently than us, and returning that American spirit of the great American melting pot, a melting pot of differing ideas and thoughts and cultures and colors. That's what has always made us great. United we stand, divided
United we stand,
we
baby.
Fall, right?
That's it.
And something that you had alluded to was the Stephen Mosher story, you know, the banning on Facebook of just an op-ed talking about that Wuhan lab leak, right? And right. It wasn't just Stephen Mosher. Anyone, you know, anything having to do with COVID, one of the news stories that I attached to one of our broadcasts, Adam, talking about some of the dangers of the vaccine, canceled. That information isn't getting out. If you don't have all the information, you are not making a choice. You're just sheeple. I'm not going to lie to you, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You know, we talk about abortion and say I'm pro-choice. If you're shutting down opposing ideas, you are not giving a woman a real choice. If you don't tell her that there are medical issues that she may have for the rest of her life, if you're not telling her that, yeah, you might be celebrating your abortion today, but tomorrow you may experience great mourning and guilt that can mess with you mentally for the rest of your life. You know, be there for a person. If you want to have choice, you give them all the information. With vaccines, I feel the exact same way. But they shut that down. They shut down any conversation that the Wuhan virus may have come from a lab in Wuhan, China. Shut down, canceled. Now, Facebook, for example, is reversing that because now it's kind of chic. This Wuhan lab theory is now actually, even outside of Facebook, being taken seriously because a U.S. classified intelligence report was saying that three researchers at the Wuhan laboratory were treated in a hospital back in November of 2019. Just before all of this hullabaloo and the virus began infecting people.
Cough, cough, Michelle, 2019, November. What? Wait, November of 2019, 2019. Okay, just checking. Just double checking.
Yeah, right. And so now that news story has been circling in the U.S. media. President Joe Biden announced an urgent investigation that will look into this theory as a possible origin of the disease. That's huge. And so Facebook is going, oh, you know, maybe we'll let people talk about that now. So that's just an example of, dude, you don't know what the heck truth is. You know what? And maybe I need to get all Jack Nicholson on you. You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth. That's such a good quote. Speaking of movie lines, right?
Yeah. So it's a huge story. China reacted pretty angrily that Joe Biden would dare look into this. I mean, again, think about this. Why China? Why, if that's not the truth, why would you care? Just say, yeah, go ahead. Come bring it. Go ahead, you know, and investigate.
Michelle, I worry about those conversations between Biden and Biden and his handlers and then China, right? Like, he's like, okay, I might impose a threat on China. And then China's like, well, we have all this stuff on your son, Mr. President. You might want to just kind of slow walk this one. And I don't know, maybe trying to make the public forget about that. I guarantee you there's going to be a diversion, right? And the diversion is going to be, we're going to look back at the border, which President or Vice President Harris has not been there yet. So weird.
Wait, but what?
There's going to be a right? Like, where?
Wait, y'all down there in Texas haven't invited her? I mean, what's going on here?
She's like, I thought we got rid of that whole border concept. You know, I thought we're just doing open borders here. No, we're not? Oh, that's weird. That's weird. But I mean, who knows, right? Who knows what's actually going to play out from this? But thank goodness, you know, light always comes to the surface, right? And the truth will always come to be, right? And I think here we're going to see that the people who are afraid of that truth are the ones that are probably right now either Biden's handlers or people that are trying to make this go away.
People like who know what the truth is and they don't want it to come out. Like China, they are angry. They're accusing the United States of hypocrisy, saying it needed to open its own biological laboratories to international inspection. And you know, you need to look at YouTube. Fine, look at us too. That's where you need to not be afraid of the truth. I mean, this is crazy.
It is crazy. And we have to be very critical of things that do come from China, right? They have positions now on the UN Human Rights Council. They fund a lot of the World Health Organization, follow the money and also like kind of figure out, you know, when you see messages from what were once looked to as very credible organizations, make sure you're staying up to date with who's actually running those and who's actually writing the messaging that comes out of them. I mean, you just can't trust what you hear anymore. I mean, China just, I think last month was criticizing the US on our history of racism and crimes against human rights. I mean, China of all countries criticizing us for human rights issues. We're one of the most free and fair countries in the world for everybody and anybody. Doesn't matter who you love, where you love, how you identify, maybe you don't worship, whatever. Like America is a place where you can do all that stuff. Whatever allows you to pursue your happiness, you can do that here. So China trying to poke fingers at us. Come on. Oh, Biden quote. Come on, man.
And how, yeah. and some of the concerns, because China holds our leash, and you see that with the woke community and their pandering to China. You know, LeBron James doesn't have any problem with, you know, things made in China. You can cancel Gina Carano, Disney, but you can film Mulan in a place where there's an internment camp within view of
right
of
by the Uyghurs. Exactly.
Okay, who's the hypocrite? Come freaking on. And where this Wuhan flu, the coronavirus origin story is now getting legs. You can't hide truth. Truth eventually comes out. Are they going to try to quell it? They might. But if we were more of a free thinking people, we might have come to some of the conclusions earlier. And we would, if we weren't afraid of alternate ideas, Adam, where masks and opening up and on some of these are concerned, we're seeing that the numbers are playing out. If you remember, Joe Biden said, y'all there in Texas, you're Neanderthal thinkers down there, Cro-Magnon Adam, that you guys are totally, you know, saying that we're going to open up, masks aren't required. And you know what? Your numbers are playing out to not be any different than anywhere else in the United States. Up here where I live in Washington State, where we've been, you know, we have had strict restrictions. We're not as free, all of that stuff. Right. Your numbers aren't playing out to be that much different. There's days where there's no deaths. There's days, it's just, what are we doing? If we would have thought about that and allowed debate, we may have had not such an awful post-COVID world, and we do. The post-pandemic, for example, pandemic New York City, homelessness, mental illness, and crime have escalated. Post George Floyd, you know, just shut down anything. Blue lives don't matter. Mental health issues, crime escalated. It's
business
rattling locals. Tourism is gone. They say that New York City, for example, has lost its essence. This is where we're at.
It's tragic. It's really tragic. I mean, crime rates are up. It's kind of going back to what New York was before I think Giuliani really cleaned it up when he was America's mayor. You can't just travel to New York now for work. You can't just travel there for leisure and tourism. You know, several years ago, I took my wife there for her birthday, and it was an amazing experience. And I used to love my work trips to New York because it had great dining and great entertainment. And just, you know, there was this kind of like wrong sort of perception of New Yorkers from, I would say, people who live in southern states. It's like, oh, man, New Yorkers are a little bit hard. Right. And people are like, man, New Yorkers are a little harsh and they're kind of like fast talkers. And I was just like, man, if you know a New Yorker, they give the best hugs. They are genuine, sincere people.
All right. I'm going to tell you something about New York as you're listening, because maybe in the South you feel that way. Here in the Northwest, it's been traditionally, you know, New York. Are abrasive. No, they're just honest. And New York or Seattle, you're a little passive aggressive. I get it. But I want to tell you something, Adam. Visiting New York, if you're in New York City especially, there's so many people. There's so much going on. So no, you're not going to go to the checkout counter and have a conversation with the clerk, because you know they're moving people through. The person down there has somewhere to go. They don't want you sitting there. Well, how are you? What's going on? They don't do that. But I'll tell you what, when you show kindness, when you win a New Yorker's heart, they remember you, and they are the kindest people you may ever experience. I went into a bagel shop, right, one day, and you know, people are going in, going out, just as I said. And as I'm going out, I'm saying, hey, thank you so much. I hope you have a great day. And they stopped, they looked at me, and they went to the next person, didn't say a word. But the next day when I went in for my coffee and bagel, that guy gave me a shmia this big of cream cheese. And I was like, wow, I didn't ask for, he said, I just want to give you a shmia. I remember you from yesterday. You have a good day. You know, that's
amazing.
Good peeps there. You find good people everywhere. So the people that you demonize, my friend, are maybe the very people that you might really want to meet. But one, you know, story, Cheryl, go ahead.
Just real quick, those great people that you're talking about right now in New York, those are the people that are going to bring New York back to what it was before the pandemic. Those are the people. I mean, we're America, right? We do have the tools, we do have the resources for now, right? We're America for now. Those great people of New York will get their city back. It might take a little bit of time, and it might be really hard for the next couple of years, but it'll be back at some point. It's the American way.
One story, and much of it coming out of New York, but it's all over the country in the wake of the clashes in Israel and Gaza. Synagogues have been vandalized. Jews have been threatened and attacked. If you missed Thursday's podcast, we talked with Rabbi Yitzhak Adlerstein. Rabbi Adlerstein is in Jerusalem, so he gave us a first hand view of what's going on, of, you know, spending time in his own bomb shelter, and what's really going on. Because of that same cancel culture and some of the things happening on social media, you're not hearing what's going on. You just hear AOC and many other things that
the squad, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just really, you see these people, the Muslim groups and black groups and things demonizing Israel and not really looking into the fact that Hamas is tunneling under the cities. They're operating and shooting from places where there are civilians. They are trying to use civilians as shields while Israel carefully tries to protect civilians. So you're not hearing that whole story, but what's happening, right, because of the normalization of violence, Adam, we're seeing unprecedented violence, hatred, and the beating of random people because they have a yarmulke or vandalizing synagogues. What is wrong with people?
It's total ignorance, Michelle. It's
the
total
mental
ignorance. It's
disorder.
It's absolutely ignorance, mental disorder, radical extremism through these very select Muslim groups who, in many cases, in respect of Israel and Palestine, funded by Iran through this, you know, it's a proxy war of sorts. You know, these extremists, right? It's going to take the educated, logical, and people with love in their hearts, not with hate in their hearts, but it's going to take good Muslim groups to educate their communities in these countries, right, that are really going through this right now. It's going to take these educated, good people who know what's right and wrong, who do have love in their heart, who do have care and concern for their neighbors, But right now, I mean, we are literally seeing extremism at its extreme. And Iran is fueling a lot of this with the financial power and the weaponry to do so. I can't imagine what it's like for those who live in Tel Aviv, especially right now, living in fear. You know, when you just walk outside or live in your house, eat dinner, whatever you're doing, just living, right? Living in fear that something might come out of the blue.
Businesses have lost millions of people, have to live in fear. This is ugly. You know, if Israel wanted to wipe Gaza off the map, they could have done it a long time ago. So don't, and they probably would, because Israel is one country that doesn't give a flying rip what anyone else thinks. Good for you. I guess as we wrap up today, the lesson of the week really is, what is truth? And if you think you're camped on truth, don't be afraid to have your truth challenged. In fact, challenge your own truth. Don't be afraid of someone else's opinion. Don't freaking demonize someone because you don't like what they have to say. How many times have I heard on Facebook, well, that's dangerous, you shouldn't be saying that. No, it's dangerous, so you should be challenging it and respecting me as you do it, because guess what? You may be wrong, sweetheart. So this is the lesson, that you may be being a tool. You're a tool if you're going along with the whole idea of what's being told out there in the narrative and not thoughtfully looking at the other side. That's the lesson.
That's a great lesson, Michelle. It's a great lesson, Michelle, and it's definitely one to live by. And I think really just kind of as a person, you know, not self-censoring yourself, owning your mistakes, taking accountability for your actions, owning your life's decisions, and owning your freedom too. That means protecting your freedom. That means standing up for what's right. That means going outside and talking to your neighbor if you can't get in touch with them. Because you know what you see on social media is not, it's not always the truth. Mostly it's not the truth these days. So, you know, you'll find there's
like what you see in movies is not real life.
People. Exactly right.
Exactly. Just saying.
So weird.
Oh man. Adam, I want to hear just briefly tell our friends a little bit about what you do so they can get in contact with you.
Yeah. Check out agencypartner.com. We are a digital agency. We help companies present themselves fantastically, beautifully online with great websites, great mobile applications, things that help them kind of showcase their products and services. And then we utilize excellent digital marketing skills to help you maximize your ability to get more customers, to get more phone calls, to sell more products. And we do so in a way that keeps true to the values that make our country great.
So you can find more about Adam easily if you just go to mymichellelive.com. We're also wrapping up this month a really kind of cool thing. As I travel, I miss this. When I travel in other countries, they all have bidets. We don't have bidets here. It is a spa for your butt. It is. Yes. I love bidets. I mean, it just imagine for just a second that you want to get clean. You've worked out. You're all sweaty. You're stinky. So you take tissues, you know, that you blow your nose with and you wipe yourself off. Do you feel clean? No, I don't think so. What do you do? You take a shower. So when you use the bathroom, take a shower. It feels like a spa for your bum. It's awesome stuff there. So we have a bidet on My Michelle Live for $50 basically. And it has
that's such a good price.
It's great. Yeah, it's real. And you know what? Less than 5 minutes, Adam, to put it on any toilet in your house.
Nothing like feeling confident. And you know what? When you're doing a little bit of cleanup, make sure you finish the job. Get this bidet.
Yeah, there you go. So these are the last few days of the bidet, but I'm really excited. I'm going to give you a sneak peek into our product of the month this next month. It is a traveling espresso machine. This thing is like this big, and it makes espresso shots that rival anything of the best machines I've ever had. I didn't care if it was as good. I just wanted something when I go camping or when I'm traveling. I was recently in a place in Texas that didn't have a decent coffee shop. So I take this with me. Dude, this is awesome.
I need that.
You'll hear about it next month. You'll hear.
I don't function without a cup of coffee in the morning. I'm just not a good person to talk to without it. Yeah. Sign me up.
I'm going to show my whole setup starting next month, but there are products that you can find at My Michelle Live. You can buy My Michelle Live merch. You can support us as you buy some of the products. They give us a thank you, and that's what keeps us doing what we're doing. So go to My Michelle Live. You can learn more about Adam, and you can learn more about the God story. I'm Michelle Mendoza. Thank you, Adam, for being with us today. Happy rest of your weekend.
Happy weekend.
Memorial Day.
Everything you need to pack into the weekend.
This is a My Michelle Live podcast.
I don't know. I'm going to just keep talking until I have no idea.
Weekend review. Right. We'll look back at the week and forward to the weekend.
Music. We have fun at My Michelle Live. We're not.
It's My Michelle Live Weekend Review. Here's Michelle.
All right. That was the opening. I don't know. Big voice guy's already like checked out. I don't know what's going on.
Well, it's because every ending is a new beginning, right?
Ooh, there you go. There you go. At any rate, I'm going to pretend again like I know what I'm doing. And thank you very much, guys, for being part of My Michelle Live. I don't know what happened with all of our sound. I'm pressing buttons here and just throwing things around. So we're just going to end it and go bum ba dum bum 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 ba dum ba dum ba dum. There you go.
It's like having a cat on the keyboard, you know.
Have a good weekend. Rest of your weekend. Happy Memorial Day.